All right, let's dive right in. Ever wish you had X-ray vision for businesses to instantly tell if they're, you know, killing it, just barely holding on, or perhaps poised for something big?
That would be handy.
That's exactly the superpower we're developing today. We're going on a deep dive into profitability and liquidity ratio analysis.
Sounds good.
And this matters for you, whether you're maybe an investor trying to spot the next big thing, a manager steering your team, or honestly, just someone curious about how businesses really tick.
It's true. And what's truly insightful, I think, is that these ratios aren't just dry numbers on a page.
No, not at all.
They're more like the story, the narrative of a company's financial journey. They reveal its strengths, its vulnerabilities, and often what moves might be coming next or what really needs attention urgently.
I couldn't agree more. So, okay, the big picture, why do we even bother crunching these numbers?
Good question.
Think of ratio analysis as getting a comprehensive diagnostic report, like a real health check for a business.
Yeah, a checkup.
It's a vital financial tool. It takes raw data from the accounts and distills it into something meaningful, something actionable.
Sure.
And for you listening, the power here is really twofold. First, you can track a business's own performance over time.
Mm-hmm. Historically.
Exactly. Spot trends, see if things are improving or maybe slipping. That's your historical view.
Okay.
But then you can also look outwards. Benchmark that business against its peers, its rivals, the whole industry.
Competitor analysis.
Those are your interfirm comparisons. Gives you a clear sense of where they stand in the market.
Precisely. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, stepping back a bit, ratio analysis helps businesses, managers, investors, stakeholders, pretty much everyone involved.
Right.
Identify those crucial strengths they can lean on, pinpoint weaknesses that, well, need fixing, and understand the areas that demand maybe corrective action. It's about making informed decisions.
Moving beyond just gut feelings, right?
Exactly. Data-driven confidence.
Yeah. All right. Now that we've set the stage, I'm genuinely excited to get into the mechanics. How do businesses actually make money? Let's peel back the layers.
Let's do.
First step. Profitability ratios. This is where it gets really interesting. These answer the fundamental question. How good is a business at turning its efforts, its sales, its capital into actual profit?
Are we making money and how well? That's the core of it.
Kicking us off is the gross profit margin, or GPM.
GPM, right.
This measures your gross profit as a percentage of sales revenue. It's that first look at efficiency after covering just the direct costs.
Uh-huh. Direct costs being things like
The cost of goods sold, raw materials, maybe the direct labor involved in making something or delivering a service.
Got it.
The formula is pretty straightforward. GPM, gross profit sales revenue, X100.
Simple enough.
So to make this real, let's imagine two businesses, say a trendy yoga studio and a busy restaurant.
Okay, different models.
Right. Our yoga studio reports a GPM of 46%. That means for every $100 coming in, $46 is left as gross profit.
Okay, 46 cents on the dollar, basically.
Yeah. The restaurant, though, boasts a 65% GPM. So for every $100 in sales, $65 is gross profit.
Wow, quite a difference.
Big difference. Just looking at this, the restaurant seems much better at managing its direct costs. But is that the full story?
Well, it's a critical piece. That GPM, it's like the heartbeat of your core product or service.
The heartbeat. I like that.
A strong GPM suggests your basic offering is viable. You know, it can stand on its own. If that number's weak, you're fighting an uphill battle right from the start, constantly needing to cut other costs or push huge volumes just to maybe break even later. It's a real early warning sign for the core business model.
That's a fantastic way to put it. So if I'm a business owner listening and my GPM isn't great, what should I think about first? Is it just raising prices?
That's often the first thought, raising prices. But it's risky, isn't it?
Definitely. Could lose customers.
You could push them away, especially if it's competitive. Often, I'd suggest looking hard at those direct costs first. Can you get better deals from suppliers? Negotiate bulk discounts? Are there maybe inefficiencies in how you make things or deliver the service?
Little leaks.
Exactly. Sometimes a small efficiency gain or a smarter sourcing choice can boost that margin without alienating anyone. Or maybe look at adding higher margin products if they fit your brand.
Makes sense. But what are the potential downsides, the limitations to improving GPM?
Well, like we said, raising prices might just cut demand. And on the cost side, if you cut too deep, especially on materials or maybe direct labor, you risk the quality.
Oh, right. Quality suffers.
Which can seriously hurt your brand long term. And marketing, while it can boost sales revenue eventually, has its own upfront costs.
Yeah.
So it's always a balancing act.
Always a balance.
Yeah.
Okay, so once we figured out that initial gross profit, the next logical step is the profit margin, or PM.
PM, right. Net profit margin, sometimes called.
This takes us further down the income statement. It looks at what's left after all expenses direct and indirect are covered.
The bottom line percentage, really.
Exactly. What's left for dividends or to reinvest? The formula here is PM, net profit sales revenue, X100.
Got it. Net profit over sales.
Let's go back to our yoga studio and restaurant. After all their expenses, rent, admin, marketing, everything.
The overheads.
Right. The yoga studio now shows a profit margin of 25%. So 25 cents profit for every dollar of revenue.
Okay, still pretty healthy.
But the restaurant, surprisingly, is now down to 18%.
Oh, interesting twist.
The tables have completely turned. This suggests the yoga studio, while maybe having higher direct costs relative to sales, is actually much better at controlling its overall expenses. More profit hits the bottom line.
And that's where the nuance really comes in, isn't it? GPM is about the core product's profitability.
Mm-hmm.
But PM tells you how well management controls the entire operation, the whole cost structure.
Ah, okay. Overall efficiency.
Yeah. It's not just what you sell, but how lean and smart you are across the board. A strong PM signals great expense control, good discipline. That's key for sustainable growth.
So if that number, the PM, isn't looking too hot, what levers can you pull?
Here you're focusing more on those overheads, the indirect costs.
Like what?
Things like indirect labor, rent, utilities, insurance. Can you renegotiate your ad contracts? Find better deals on office supplies?
The everyday stuff.
Even strategic things, like investing in energy-efficient equipment, can pay off long-term and boost this ratio. It's about finding those smart, broader efficiencies.
And the potential downsides there. I can imagine a few.
Oh, absolutely. If you cut costs too aggressively, too bluntly,
morale drops.
Staff morale can plummet, yeah. And that often leads to worse service quality, which, guess what? Pushes customers away.
Vicious cycle.
And relocating for cheaper rent might look good on paper. Yeah. But if you move somewhere less convenient.
Fewer customers walk in.
Exactly. You could end up hurting revenue more than the rent savings help. It's that delicate dance again. Cutting costs versus maintaining value.
Okay, our third profitability ratio, giving us maybe the broadest view, is return on capital employed, ROCE.
ROCE, yes. This is a big one for investors.
It measures how efficiently a business generates profit relative to all the capital invested in it.
And that capital comes from?
From shareholders, their equity, and from lenders like banks, their debt, basically all the money tied up in the business.
Got it. Total funding.
It asks, how much profit, how much bang are we getting for all the bucks invested? The formula, ROCE, net profit capital employed, X100.
Net profit relative to the total investment pool.
Sticking with our examples, the yoga studio reports a ROCE of 10%, so $10 profit for every $100 invested.
Okay.
The restaurant comes in at 8%, $8 profit per $100 invested.
So the yoga studio wins again on this one.
Yeah. It suggests the yoga studio is more efficient at using all its resources, equity and debt combined, to actually generate profit.
And the real world consequence, the implication here,
yeah,
is that ROCE really shows how well management is stewarding the capital entrusted to them.
Good way to put it. Stewardship.
It's a holistic view of financial productivity. A consistently high ROCE. That's often a strong signal of good management. And a sustainable business model that knows how to use its money well.
So how does a business owner improve this metric? It seems quite high level.
Well, improving ROCE often starts with improving overall profitability, controlling costs, boosting revenue, the things we talked about for PM.
Right, that feeds into it.
But it also involves managing the capital side, avoiding tying up too much money in unproductive assets.
Like equipment sitting idle.
Exactly. Or maybe a factory running at half capacity. Improving asset utilization is key. Maybe even selling off assets that just aren't pulling their weight.
Makes sense. Streamlining. What are the dangers of pushing too hard here?
The strategic trade-off. If you reduce capital investment too much, say, you delay buying necessary new equipment or cut back on R&D.
You might fall behind.
You could seriously limit future growth. I've seen companies do that, win the short-term ROCE battle, but lose the long-term war for market share.
Short sight.
Very. And again, overemphasizing cost control to boost the profit part of ROCE could compromise quality, hurting sales down the line.
Yeah.
That classic trap.
Okay, wow. So profitability is complex, multi-layered, but we've got GPM, PM, ROCE as key tools.
Crucial tools.
But let's shift gears. We've talked about making profit, which is obviously vital.
Can't survive without it long term.
But what if you're profitable on paper? Great PM, maybe good ROCE, but you literally can't pay next week's payroll.
Okay.
Or your suppliers.
Oof, yeah. The cash crunch.
That's where liquidity comes in. Our next deep dive is into liquidity ratios. These are all about a firm's ability to meet its short-term financial obligations. Day-to-day survival, really.
Can you pay your bills on time? Super fundamental.
The first one, probably the most common, is the current ratio.
Yep, current ratio.
This compares all your current assets, stuff you expect to turn into cash within about a year.
Cash, receivables, inventory.
Right. Compares those with your current liabilities, bills due within that same year.
Payables, short-term debt.
Exactly. It shows how easily a firm can cover those short-term debts. The formula is beautifully simple. Current ratio, current assets, current liabilities.
Assets divided by liabilities, both current.
Let's check in on our yoga studio and restaurant again. The yoga studio has a current ratio of
0.9.1.
Yeah. For every dollar they owe soon, they only have 90 cents in current assets lined up. That's, well, that's a potential liquidity crisis. A big red flag.
Definitely worrying.
The restaurant, though, shows a healthier 1.9.1.
Much better. Pretty comfortable.
Very favorable. Now, benchmarks. Generally, somewhere between 1.5 to 2.1 is seen as ideal.
The Goldilocks zone.
Kind of. Below 1 clearly signals problems. But crucially, being way above 2 isn't necessarily great either.
Right. That can mean inefficiency.
It might mean too much cash is just sitting there idle, or inventory isn't selling fast enough. Resources that could be reinvested.
Exactly. What's insightful about a really high current ratio is that it often points to a missed opportunity. Sure, creditors feel safe. But is the business deploying its capital effectively? Too much cash earning next to nothing. Too much stock gathering dust. It suggests capital isn't working as hard as it could be for growth or returns.
Good point. Lazy assets. Okay, that leads us to an even stricter measure of liquidity, the quick ratio, sometimes called the acid test ratio.
The acid test, yeah. More rigorous.
It's designed to be more conservative because it specifically excludes stock or inventory from the current asset side.
Right.
The formula is quick ratio, current asset stock, current liabilities.
So why exclude stock? What's the thinking there?
Well, the logic is that inventory might not be easily or quickly convertible to cash, Rader.
Ah, okay. Not truly liquid.
Exactly. Think about specialized parts or fashion items that go out of season or even perishable goods. You can't always count on selling them immediately for full value if you suddenly need cash.
Makes sense. It's a tougher test of immediate cash access, like a what if sales stop tomorrow kind of test.
Precisely. It gives a truer picture of immediate cash generating power, resilience in a pinch.
A worst case snapshot.
So applying this acid test, our yoga studio's quick ratio drops to a really worrying 0.3.1.
Wow. Very low. Indicates a severe liquidity issue.
They barely have any truly liquid assets, cash, receivables to cover immediate bills once you ignore inventory. The restaurant, though, still looks okay at 1.05.1.
So above that key threshold.
Yeah, the general benchmark for the quick ratio is around 1.1. If you're at 1.1 or higher, you generally have enough truly liquid assets to cover immediate liabilities. Below that, could be a very rough ride if things get tight.
A real danger zone.
So, okay, if your liquidity ratios are looking shaky, too low, or maybe even too high, suggesting inefficiency, what practical steps can a business take?
Several options. On the asset side, you could try to speed up cash inflows.
Oh.
Maybe offer discounts for early payment from customers, encourage cash sales, improve your stock management. Better inventory control means less cash tied up in unsold goods.
Right. Just-in-time inventory, maybe.
Could be. And just strategically holding on to a bit more cash rather than paying it all out or locking it up in long-term things.
Okay. So boost or speed up assets. What about the other side? Reducing liabilities.
Absolutely. You could look at your current liabilities. Maybe replace expensive short-term borrowing, like an overdraft, with a longer-term loan that has lower payments or interest.
Restructure debt.
Yeah. Also, simply paying your suppliers on time is important. Avoids late fees, builds goodwill, maybe gets you better terms later. And good tax planning can help manage those short-term outflows.
There are always trade-offs, aren't there?
Always. It's crucial to see that nearly every strategy to improve liquidity has a potential downside somewhere else.
Like what? Give me an example.
Okay. Discounts for early payment. That directly hits your profitability. Your PM goes down.
Ah, right. Less profit margin.
Holding on to too much cash. That cash isn't earning a high return. It could be invested for growth. That impacts potential ROCE. taking on more long-term loans to pay off short-term ones, that increases your overall financial risk, your debt burden.
Higher interest costs, maybe?
Could be. And cutting stock levels too drastically to free up cash. You risk stockouts, lost sales, unhappy customers. That hurts revenue and reputation.
Man, it really is a constant balancing act.
It truly is. No single ratio tells the whole story, and no single move fixes everything without potential side effects.
What an insightful deep dive. We've really unpacked how profitability ratios, GPM, PM, ROCE, tell us if a business is truly generating returns.
From its operations and its capital.
And how liquidity ratios, the current and quick ratios, gauge that critical short-term stability. Can it pay its bills?
Both sides are absolutely essential for long-term survival.
Sure.
You can't really have one without the other sustainably.
True financial health needs both.
Ultimately, achieving that health isn't about hitting one magic number. It's dynamic. It's a constant balancing act. Managers have to skillfully navigate those trade-offs we just discussed.
Profitability versus liquidity.
Profitability, liquidity, investing for growth, all while staying competitive. It's a complex puzzle, constantly shifting.
So wrapping up, what does this all mean for you listening?
Yeah.
Well, the next time you read a news story about a company or even just think about your local coffee shop or yoga studio, you'll have these powerful financial lenses. You can look beyond the surface, understand the underlying health, the potential, maybe the risks in a way most people can't.
Spotting the promises and the pitfalls.
Well, exactly. And here's a final thought for you to mull over until next time.
Okay.
If a business shows consistently high profitability, great margins, good ROCE, but it struggles with consistently low liquidity ratios, what do you think its most immediate, most pressing concern would be? And maybe more importantly, why could that low liquidity actually be a bigger, more immediate threat to its survival than having low profitability, at least in the short term?
That's a great question to ponder. Profit on paper versus cash in the bank.
Something to think about. We'll leave it there for this deep dive.